Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Around Town. We are so excited today. We have our University of South Carolina Athletics Director, Ray Tanner, in the house, and Assistant Athletic Director, Chance Miller, in the house. And we're going to talk about some fun things happening in Columbia, South Carolina, along with the university. And, you know, I can't help but start off asking, talk to us a little bit about soccer. How about that? I mean, incredible to sell more tickets in the beginning than any major city that's involved. And this is pretty incredible. So talk to us a little bit about how exciting, number one, this is. But a little, some people don't understand the background. You know, why are y'all doing this? Well, who brought this to the table? And I think it'd be great if y'all could share that with everybody.
Well, thank you, Ms. Mayor. It's great to be with you today. But I tell you, and Chance can share the nuts and bolts of what happened with soccer. I'm not a soccer aficionado. I appreciate the great athleticism and how it's become more prominent in our country. But he came in one day and said, you know, we may have an opportunity to host a friendly. And I said, well, I'm familiar with the friendly, but were we Williams-Brice? He said, yeah, it would be a really exciting venture for us. And I said, tell me more. And so he started to share the story. He had a contact that I attribute our football season to getting the interest with the Kentucky game, matter of fact. But then he engaged in a conversation with one of his contacts, and it started to grow. And then they did the site visits, and they were excited about what we had to offer. And I'll turn it over to Chance, because he was in the midst. He was in the midst of making all this come to pass. And how exciting. I guess I'm a little bit level-headed, I would say. Sometimes people say you're pessimistic. I'm not pessimistic. I'm realistic. But to think we're going to sell those tickets like we did in just a few hours, it was amazing to me. But we're excited on August 3rd that we will have a national soccer event, international soccer event here.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm not surprised. And I'll tell you, I believe that, just because I believe this community and this region thrives for these opportunities and experiences. And, you know, we're the beauty part of being the capital city and having three major highways around it is, you know, in 20 minutes, you're in five counties. In an hour and a half, you're in 14. And I think that gives us a base to draw from for these type of events. You know, I just think it's exciting. I love it.
Certainly.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back to, what was it? We were in the middle of COVID trying to figure out if we're going to play football games, we're going to have the TV contracts be able to pay out and, you know, meet all of our budgetary constraints. And we talked a lot about, we have these beautiful facilities, you know, and how can we diversify? How can we do it like the NFL does it? If you look at Bank of America Stadium, I think it was last summer, it was on a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening. They had a friendly with Chelsea and their MLS team. They put 63,000 people into Bank of America Stadium on a Wednesday night. And we looked at it, and we've talked for a long time about how do you use your facilities when football and basketball aren't playing, or you don't have a concert going on, that we can produce revenue that we can put back into our athletic department coffers and be able to provide for our student athletes. And, you know, I think we got a little bit lucky on this one. Had a contact that I knew him from my past life with the Washington Commanders, and he reached out. I think we had a fundraising event at the Rice Athletic Center that night, and asked if we could get on a Zoom with his partner. His partner was in Australia, so we got on a Zoom after the fundraising event that night. And Hugh said, you know, we've been really looking at trying to expand the markets, not just going to the professional markets or the LA, New York, Philadelphia markets, but look at a university that can draw from multiple areas, that has a good fan support and fan base and a great environment. And we've seen a couple of your night games on ESPN. You know, I think that really kind of intrigued them with the atmosphere. And they said, you know, would you be interested in potentially a friendly? And they didn't mention the teams, but again, we talked about different things that we could bring in, and that was one of them. So I said, well, I've got to check with Coach Tanner, but I'm pretty sure he's going to say yes if we can bring some revenue here. So went out and talked to Coach Tanner and just said, hey, there might be a potential for a friendly here. And we followed back up with the teams, and I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, an MLS club and maybe a Premier League team that would come in, because I had seen something with Chelsea and Wrexham up at North Carolina that they had done. And they came in and they said, we're trying to put this tour together and we're looking at a couple of different venues. You know, you might have to compete with some other ones. But what would you think about two Premier League teams? And we said, yes, definitely. But if you're going to send, if you're going to send them and we're going to do this, let's blow it out. Let's send us the two biggest. Right. And we were kind of joking when we said that, thinking they're going to send us whoever they want to send us. And they came back with Manchester United and Liverpool. And that's when we knew we had something special going. And then, you know, they really wanted to come over and meet the team and meet who we would have, you know, working with the clubs and working with the promoter. And Coach Sanders did a wonderful job of putting together such a great team. I mean, we pulled together about 16 to 18 people. And what was unique about this is we have our CLA staff that works with concerts and promoters all the time, that they're used to this promotion world, right? And then we have our event and facility staff and our turf crew that they're used to putting on huge football events in the stadium or basketball events in the CLA. And this was a good opportunity to merge those two to see, can we do bigger type events that are outside of our comfort zone a little bit? And Lexi Boone and his staff over at CLA and Sid Kenyon got with Megan Kennington and Clark Cox, our grounds crew, and Jeff Davis, and our development staff with Wayne and Kendra, and pulled them together and rolled out the red carpet for those two clubs. And I think they were very impressed by it. You know, they talked about, you know, some of these professional markets, kind of like a take it or leave it. It's, hey, we have this venue open on this day. Come if you want to. For us, I mean, we were taking them around town. A lot of the restaurants here locally, you know, quietly, we would call them and say, hey, we have these two clubs coming in. Can you help us out? You know, get us a reservation. Because they would call at the last minute. And they're like, hey, we're flying over. We'll be there tomorrow afternoon. And you know, everybody really came together and made it work and rolled it out for them. I mean, even so much of, you know, Liverpool wanted to work out one morning, right? They wanted a place to work out. So called Coach Day over at Football Ops and said, can you run them through a workout? Don't just open it up, but run them through a workout. And he and Chip found the music that I guess they play at Liverpool Stadium and played it over the speaker system while they did a workout for them. I don't think they got that at SoFi. They didn't get that in the Philly market. And then they saw our atmosphere, and Coach Standard mentioned at the Kentucky game, been able to light the stadium up Garnet at night. That place was crazy electric, and you had Darude in there, DJ and Sandstorm. I think that set it over the top at that point. And the team just did a really good job. We were very proud of them on how they came together. And that was a difficult time because this came about 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. So you're in the transition between the end of football when we had a 4-game homestand, which I think we were the only school in the country that had a 4-game homestand to end the season. That's tough on people. But then you transition into basketball too.
How many tailgates I had to prepare.
And we appreciate it. We love you tailgating. Yeah.
But it worked out well. I think both clubs are really excited. We had a great rollout when we announced it. And, you know, kudos to you as well. You helped us out there. The two clubs did mention to me that we were the only one on the tour that we had the mayor and the governor send something out via social media. They made the comment we didn't see the mayor and the governor in California and L.A. sending anything out. So
I think it
worked
out
well.
That's right. It's the way we do it in South Carolina. I know somebody's going to ask this question, is tell people what you mean by friendly. Because a lot of people don't, I know what you're talking about, but I think a lot of people don't understand what that means. Yeah. Maybe give them a little quick what a friendly means when you're doing an event.
With these, and I'm like Coach Tanner, I'm not a soccer aficionado. My 7-year-old son probably knows more about soccer than I do. But I lean on Tony Ann and Shelley Smith a lot when we're asking questions about friendlies and is this going to be good or not. The friendly just means it's not part of their, you know, regular season in the Premier League. But I have heard a lot of people say, well, are we going to get kind of the B squad here? We've been assured by both of the clubs, just with Copa America going on beforehand and some of the other international events, that this will be really the first time that they'll have both of their teams together and they're so close to the season that they have to use this event to be able to get warmed up and ready to go for the season. So they've assured us that you're going to see the Stars playing on this one.
That's going to be amazing. So what else? We got this event that everybody's excited about. I know y'all are continuing work, but we got some things happening soon here. You want to let the
it seems like basketball season is pretty exciting right now. I mean, we got Coach Staley has sustained success at a level that nobody has in probably the last 10, 12 years in this country. And now Coach Paris in his second year has it awfully noisy as we entertain Tennessee tonight for first place. But keep in mind that in a couple of weeks, Coach Staley's team will host the first and second round of the NCAAs. Our tournament will happen this weekend in the upstate, but then we'll be home in a couple of weeks to host the first and second round. And I don't want to jinx her at all, and I don't think I will, but she's likely to be the overall number one seed playing at home.
Which is incredible, because I remember at the beginning of the season, people were kind of doubting that we could continue with such a strong team. And I think those young women have exceeded expectations.
Well, it's like you showing up at your office tomorrow and your entire staff is not there because you brought a new staff in.
Yeah.
A little bit of transition going to have to go on, right? Well, that's what she did. She lost all of her starters from a year ago. She brings in a whole new team. They're young, tremendously inexperienced in many ways. She had a few players that had been on the team last year, but the expectations, we did start in the top 10 in the preseason poll, maybe 7th or 8th, but we go to Paris to begin the season. Pretty impressive right out of the gate against Notre Dame. She goes to number 1. She hasn't moved since, and we've won every single game. Even she said last week in the post game, in her last game, I guess it was Sunday, I was in the press conference and one of the media guys said, "Did you expect this?" And she said, "No, I didn't expect this. I knew we were going to be good," but she's unblemished at 29-0, which is remarkable. Third time in a row, she's the coach of the year. 3 regular season conference championships, 4 out of 5, 8 out of the last 11.
It's amazing.
You kidding me?
It's amazing.
Sustaining success is the hardest thing in sports for sure, but in any profession, and she's done it.
She has such a competitive mind, and people always say this person's playing checkers, that she's playing chess. She really is playing chess, and she has figured it out, but she knows how to connect with those players and get them to excel at a level that they probably didn't think they could excel. And they do it with a smile on their face. You watch them, you just get excited. But I feel the same way about what Lamont's done. I was talking to Chance earlier. I said, I really consider this his first season because he got to cultivate this team and really have it. And to me, I think it's been amazing because I can say it's a team. I feel like the first time in a while, it's truly a team. You watch those guys play. They pick each other up. Watch Michi miss 2 shots in a row, pull himself out to collect himself and come back in. You don't see that happen.
Right.
In a lot of places, that's coaching.
And you mentioned chess and checkers. And when I'm watching a game, maybe not like a lot of people, I watch our 2 coaches. I watch their body language. I watch where they are up and down. And it's almost like, because I had a former life, I was a coach. A key is if you can push a button. And if you push the right button often enough, you have better chances. And they have done that remarkably well. And we're excited about where our basketball programs are right now.
We should be. I'm excited for the players, the coaches, our university. I look what it does. Tonight is going to be packed downtown. Not only because we're playing for the number 1 spot, but you got other events going on and people are out, they're about, they're spending money, they're enjoying it, they're being part of it, but being excited and proud of it. I think it's amazing. For us, athletics is a big part. There's only one time that I was really, really scared for us, and that was when Coach Spurrier quit in the middle of the season.
How would you like to have been the athletics director that day?
I would have not wanted to be. I was standing next to the president. And you remember we had Sports Center there that weekend.
Right.
Quit on Wednesday. We had Sports Center live. Matt Berry, of course, was from here. He's got his start at LTX.
Sure.
So we're all down there, and I'm like, this is insane. And, you know, you start thinking about enrollment. You're thinking about student housing. You're thinking about economics, not only for our athletic department and everything else, but even, you know, for the city as a whole. And damn, if we didn't go to the Final Four when everybody's making their school decision and our enrollment went up, you know, it's just funny how that all happens, but it's an intricate part. And I try to tell people a lot, you have to embrace our universities and colleges and our community because they are a major factor of our success. And if one's successful, we're all successful. So we've got to work together more. And I think these type of events draws in. It's not just about, you know, and I've heard from people about the soccer and they're just amazed by it. But what they do bring up is what would have happened had we let the Carolina Panthers play here on a Sunday when that didn't happen, when the former athletic director was here. And, you know, the question is you see this, what would it have been like?
Right.
You know, we didn't know at that time, but I think it'd been pretty successful.
Well, I think, you know, and Chance and I have been together for quite a while now. He's been on campus for 10 years in the athletic department. So we've had a lot of conversations and, you know, you have to take a hard look at things, but you know what? The more the merrier. And you deal with the things that you have to deal with. And we try not to put too much pressure on our staff and too many hours and too many events, but we do a lot. I mean, we have a lot of things that go on at Williams-Brice that people don't even know about. Weddings, receptions, you name it. And we try to bring a lot of people in, but it is about our city as a destination and there's energy. And we don't have the professional teams to compete with locally, which I think is a great advantage for us. But you know, we've been here for a long time. I remember when you were a restaurateur here in town and I would frequent your establishment. So it's a great place. It's a great place to be. And we want to continue to try to make it as exciting as possible. And it's not bad that we have an economic impact at the same time.
No, it's a great thing, you know? So, you know, Chance, now that we're going to call you the Wizard of Oz over there in the athletic department, what are you going to pull out for us next?
Well, Coach Stander did caution me. He said, make sure the game actually goes off and we hit a home run on it or it's going to be your fault. No pressure.
He's got pressure.
You get all the praise and all the blame.
No pressure. He's got pressure he doesn't even realize. Because when I casually mentioned, when we were having these conversations, I said to Dr. Emeritus, you know, our president, I said, you know, Dr. Emeritus, I think we have a chance to get Manchester U and Liverpool here. What? He stopped. I mean, he was frozen in his tracks. He said, you're kidding me. I said, well, I got cautious real quick. Like he was so excited. I mean, he's a huge fan.
He said, soccer guy.
You're going to get those teams? I said, well, potentially. I said, Chance is hard at work and we're entertaining and they're taking site visits. And if they like our product, you know, what we have here, there's a good chance. So I wish Mr. Miller well here as he embarks.
You're no longer you're in your own category now. You're going to Mr. Miller.
I think, you know, credit to Coach Tanner. He's let us try to explore multiple different opportunities to bring other things in here. And I think that showcases not only our athletics department, but the university as a whole. But it also lets us showcase the city of Columbia and the state of South Carolina. And I think when we all partner together and move in the same direction, it's pretty powerful. I mean, when we looked at the soccer game, we got a hold of Scott over Experience Columbia, mm-hmm. and they took every meeting we asked. They were on phone calls, Zooms with us. And I think that's special because you're going to have it broadcast internationally on ESPN. But again, it's a good team that he's got, that Coach Tanner has put together. You talk about some of the events. I mean, look at this past week. We had, and unfortunately, we had the rain out on Friday night with baseball. So then I think everybody went to Colonial Life. They sold out Parker McCollum in the concert. I think we were right at a sellout for Saturday for Florida men's basketball.
Had to be close.
Yes.
Yeah. Sellout for women's basketball. And then a sellout tonight for men's basketball again. And I forgot. And we packed Segra.
I think the maybe Segra had the biggest baseball crowd ever in the state of South Carolina to watch two teams play. I think it was well over 9,000. So great atmosphere, a lot going on. And that's what we should be doing in the city of Columbia. And to your credit, I know that you're very aggressive and progressive in your thought process and bringing things that are exciting and the energy that needs to be in this city.
Well, I think people embrace it. They appreciate it. And I think we haven't done that together in the past like we could. I think we missed some opportunities, and it's just for, you know, people not communicating, working with each other. And I think it also puts a little sense of pride. You know, Columbia has always struggled because people, we had a lot of Eeyores, as I like to say. You know, people just, it's a great place to live, but, you know, we're 2 hours from the beach and we're 2 hours from the mountains. That's all great. You know, that's not how you lead off. But we have all these assets and these opportunities. I my favorite thing is when somebody tells me there's nothing to do here, I'm like, I can name 40 things today.
Right.
I mean, it's constantly, there is something going on. And then you have the enhancements of Soda City and other things. So the fan experience for people to come, if they're coming for a concert or a game, adds on. I mean, I've met so many people from our opposing teams at SEC on Saturday mornings at Soda City. They're like, this is awesome. This is such a great atmosphere. Everybody's great. It's easy to get around, you know, town and get to where I'm going. And they're excited about the atmosphere that we have in the stadium or at the Coliseum or at Founders. You know, they bought into it. And I think people travel here because it's a good destination. So we got to keep selling that, keep trying to do more events and enhance that experience. What else can we do to enhance the experience, which segues into, I know y'all put out an RFI to figure out what we're going to do in the future with some of our property and land and how we can tie that in to have more of experience. Can y'all share anything of where you are in the process? I know some people have been asking, you know, where it is. And I caution people, this is a very, this could be a very large, this is not going to be something you can make a decision in a short period of time. There's a lot of thought process to go to it, because when you add it all together, it's like 800 something acres potentially, right?
And I appreciate you bringing that up. I think that of all the mistakes that I've made and numerous ones over the last 12 years as the athletics director, but we had a rollout, you know, a little media gathering about what we're going to do with our projects. And you mentioned the almost 900 acres and things we might do at Williams-Brice. So we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. And as you know, things, they don't happen overnight, but
I wish they could.
I will tell you that we continue to move forward, and we're closer than we were in maybe being able to roll some things out. But I did get out a little bit early on that, but we didn't stop. It didn't go away. It hasn't been canceled. So we're going to continue to try to do some things in the development area at Williams-Brice and with the property around the stadium.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, my mother told me a long time ago, there are no mistakes. They're just teaching moments. So just look at it that way. It's how you recover from that is what makes everybody respect you. They don't look at the mistakes. So just remember that.
Thank you.
It's not. But so, you know, we're so excited about obviously these events. And, you know, obviously we went to the NCAA. I went and checked out the whole learning more about what it takes to get events here. And we've had this conversation in our small group of getting people on board, getting the business community on board and going after not only, you know, basketball, but other. And I think for me, what was interesting is that sometimes the NCAA doesn't really understand our communities. I mean, you really got to be able to sell it to them and let them understand the value and the opportunities are there. And I know they have to deal with a million cities, you know, I get that, but it was a great learning experience and an opportunity for me to understand what it means to be a host and, you know, pin them down a little bit too, which was interesting because I never got the same answer twice on certain questions. And I'm like, this has got to be frustrating for an athletic director or somebody who's trying to put on an event. If you know, it seems to be a little bit subjective depending on, well, maybe this, maybe that. Well, to me, it's got to be black and white. If I've got to produce something, I need to know what it is. I can't have the ifs, wins. Right. So as we continue to push, can y'all talk a little bit about what y'all see in the future for us or opportunities?
We got soccer. We got more friendlies coming.
I think, you know, getting this game and letting it be out nationally that we got it. There are some conversations going about additional type events like that, whether it's soccer friendlies. I mean, you've got the World Cup coming over, and I think 8 teams are playing in Atlanta. Those teams have to go somewhere to be able to train, have tune-up games. So being able to show that we can host Manchester United and Liverpool, I think helps with that. It also helps be able to show big promotion companies like TEG that we can pull this off and do it really well. And I think one thing that really helped us is it made us sit down and really gather our data. Dan Stahl and our revenue team do a great job of pulling data to be able to show people, not only are we going to pull from Columbia or within the state, we're also going to pull from Atlanta, Charlotte, Raleigh, Jacksonville. And I thought that was really impressive. Dan pulled some data and was able to show, hey, we have this many fans in Atlanta that are Gamecock donors, fans, graduates, have come to a game or bought our jerseys, right? And then was also able to show via our deal with Fanatics how many of those same people bought a Manchester United jersey or a Liverpool jersey, right? To be able to show the reach that we have. And pulling that together and going through that exercise, I think helps for future type events that we can say, hey, you know what? We got all the Ticketmaster data from everybody that bought a ticket and where they purchased it from, right? Where their IP address was. I don't have the exact numbers, but I think around 30% were actually from outside of the state of South Carolina. There were 4 that I saw from Hawaii, which I still can't believe that, but there were people.
We need to get them a welcome packet.
Yeah, there were people from all over the Southeast, and you're looking at it going, okay, they're going to come here. They're going to spend a weekend here. How do you do other events around it? And we're in those conversations right now with the promoter. They put a hold on the CLA for the night before, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what they could do and what they could bring to try to make an event around the whole thing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We talked about Parker McCollum last Friday night at the CLA, which was sold out. And we do a ton of concerts. We do a ton of events at the CLA. And how many years ago did we do Beyonce and Jay-Z at the stadium?
That was what, 16, 17?
A few years ago. So I'd like to do more big event, stadium events.
Me too.
Because a lot of these singers or whatever your genre is of music, they're in the stadiums now. They're not doing just small buildings, and that was a success for us. Now I will tell you, that concert was like 2 weeks before football season started. I was not comfortable.
Oh, I bet you were sweating.
I was not. I was very nervous because we took out the entire turf. We scraped it and started over, and it was beautiful. But that doesn't mean it's not going to move when you got cleats out there. But it was beautiful. And Clark Cox has been mentioned earlier. He said, don't worry, it's going to work. I was worried, and we got through it. And so we don't want to do it that close to football. But I think having some stadium
look,
shows.
I've seen U2 there. I've seen the Rolling Stones there. I saw Farm Aid there. I'm telling you that people came from all over. Our town was electric, and it's such a great venue. It works for concerts and others. I think people would thrive to go see a show there and have some of those bands. I mean, you go to Charlotte and you go to the Bank of America, and I'm like, we could have that same show.
Right.
You know, we could have that. We know how to park 80,000 people. It's not like we don't know how to do that. You know, this isn't our first rodeo. And so that hearing you say that excites me. I'm with you. Let's don't do it 2 weeks before football. Right. I want to keep my team healthy.
Yes. But you know what? You mentioned parking and ingress and egress. We go places, you know, during the season with our teams. People don't have what we have.
And people complain about what we do have, but if they've been to other places, yes, we got it pretty good here.
Yes. And every time I'm out traveling to one of the other cities, I'm going, wow, we got it pretty good in Columbia. That's for sure.
I know we got some events coming up. Talk to us a little bit about what's going to happen at the spring game. We're going to have a night game is what I hear. Is that true?
7 o'clock.
Yes. 7 o'clock. We're going to have a night game. We'll have the Cocky Trot. Which is a road race that I think this is the 3rd year now we've done it. And each year it just keeps growing. It keeps doubling in size. So I think we've got quite a few people in there now. I know Talked to Steve Fink this morning. He's sweating a little bit. He might not win it this year. I think it's getting a little more competitive.
Well, he's in the senior category. He'll be okay.
But yeah, have the cocky trot. I think we've baseball or softball.
I think we do in the afternoon. Yes.
Yeah, baseball and softball in the afternoon. I think beach volleyball is there as well. We've got a whole day of Gamecock athletics.
And that's awesome.
And then we culminate it with the spring game at night. So you get the atmosphere. And then we're going to do a fireworks show right after the game.
Wow. That's going to be incredible. You know, you bring up beach volleyball and softball and thing, and it reminds me of being over at the alumni house last year and listening to the coaches talk. And my wife and I both walked away from that going, we have an amazing coaching staff. If you look at them all across the board, doesn't matter if it's softball, tennis, golf, you name it. I really think we have a high caliber of coaches. But what we both walked away with and was so impressive of how all the coaches support each other. You know, there were stories about Coach Beamer going over to softball and softball supporting football and just the interaction. There are not a lot of schools that happens.
You bring up a great point. That is not the norm, really, because people get into their silos and that's the way they
roll. Operate. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not the case here. It's a lot of fun, you know, and, you know, you're likely to see, you know, Coach Staley tonight, you know, at Coach Paris's game, and maybe Coach Beamer, if he's in town, he'll be there. And it's very genuine. And over at softball, I mean, I go over, by the way, we're 18-2 in softball right now, but
they're killing it.
You go over to softball and you hear a couple of people that are making noise. It's usually Coach Staley. She sits on the front row and she's on the umpire constantly. And so we have a great time, but it is sincere. But the thing is, the athletics director, this is my 12th year. One thing you're concerned about when you get into my position is, are your coaches going to be with you? Are you going to keep the good ones? Are we a destination, or are they going to move on? And that's been a great thing for me, that we have people that want to be here for a long time, because that's not the case. If you look around the country, they'll hop around a little bit, and it hasn't been. Coach Staley's in her 16th year. Coach Shelley Smith is in her 22nd year, and it goes on and on. Coach Bev Smith has been here more than 10 years as well in softball, and we have a lot of coaches been here for a long time. So that's great as well, because
I think it's a testament.
It is. And that speaks to it speaks to not only the university, but the city and living in our area.
And the fan base. Those three things, I think, define it. And if you live in a community that you're not happy with and you don't feel you have the support from your university and you don't feel like you have it from the fans, I mean, I laugh all the time because they're more women basketball fans of Dawn Staley's across. I literally don't visit a city that at some point somebody finds out I'm the mayor of Columbia and they go, oh, I've been following the Lady Gamecocks all this time. And I'm like, well, first of all, you can't call them Lady Gamecocks. It's women's basketball. And it's a big thing for Dawn Staley to make sure that Coach Staley, you know, has elevated the women's contribution to the sport. But they've fallen in love with our team. They have no connection to the university. I mean, they didn't have a kid or a cousin or nephew or anybody. They follow it. And I think that happens all the time. I mean, we bring people to the games a lot that aren't Gamecock fans. They leave, and next thing I know, they're wearing jerseys on Saturdays pulling for us.
I got to tell you, maybe I shouldn't say this, but this is the truth. I went with the women's team to Kentucky. We had clinched the regular season championship a couple weeks ago, but Kentucky, the game at Kentucky for our women, would have been the clincher that nobody could tie us. So I took that trip, and they had a really good crowd because of us. You know, they came to see our team. We were number one in the country. I was sitting pretty low down by the corner of the bench, and there was a pack of young people, young girls and moms that were just having a great time. And our players before the game, they were high-fiving them and talking to them. I thought they were maybe affiliated with us. I thought they were Gamecock fans. And then I learned they're from Kentucky, but they had they had gotten excited about our program, and our young women had embraced the fact that they wanted to be a part of the action. So that was really great to see. I sat there for, you know, an hour just watching the interaction, and that's special.
Well, and you look at our players, you know, it's, I'm a people person. I mean, and for me, I look at that and look at their interactions, the way they handle themselves. We've got very poised and gracious players. You know, I mean, there's some other teams out there where, you know, you get mad at the players because you're like, why? You're a great athlete. Why do you have to act that way? You know, and some of the antics that go on the court. And then I look at our players and I'm like, they're incredible. I mean, they're true role models. And I see that across. I think I see that across our athletics. And I think that's a testimony to the coaches, our administration, I think the staff. And I do think that's something to be proud of.
That is a great thing. And I certainly give the coaches a tremendous amount of credit for that because they set the standard. But then you have older players on the team that lets the younger players know what the standard is. And, you know, when you have the culture like that, it feeds itself. And that's a great thing, and that you recognize that, because that is the case. We're not perfect maybe all the time, but we do have some great things going on.
Well, and he won't brag on himself, but he's created a really good culture with the coaches and student athletes and the expectation. I mean, our student athletes, 33 semesters now?
34.
I'm sorry. I shorted us one. 34 straight semesters of a 3.0 GPA or above, right? You look at our community service hours. We usually lead the conference in community service hours here in Columbia. So they get, our student athletes get out there. They're encouraged to get out into the community and embrace that. And I think people see that. Coach Tanner's invested a lot in the student athlete well-being and life after sports, right? I just learned this morning that, our Beyond Sports internship program, the networking night that we're getting ready to do. We have over 70 businesses that have already RSVP'd for that to come in and interview our student athletes and try to employ them this summer in the community.
It's incredible.
While, you know, the coaches are encouraging that, that doesn't happen if from the top down, you're not putting resources in that and holding your coaches accountable to say, hey, this is going to be important to us. And everybody's embraced that. I mean, we have a head coaches meeting once every 2 weeks, and it's phenomenal because you've got coaches that have been here for a long time, and those that are new, like Coach Paris and Coach Hall and Coach Popel, they've embraced them, and they've helped each other, and they recruit with each other, they go to each other's events, and that's a testament to Coach Tanner's leadership and what he's put forward.
I mean, it really is. And it's interesting because I had an opportunity to go to basketball practice early in the season. And Lamont said, well, what do you think? And I said, first time in 10 years, I've seen a team on the floor. And I was meaning watching them coach each other and support each other. And if there was a mistake in a drill or whatever, working with each other, not hounding each other or talking bad or putting down, they literally were working together to improve. And I was like, we're going to have a hell of a team. And but that's a testimony on putting the right people in the right place with, and the culture that's been created at South Carolina. Yeah. Would we like to have a hell of a lot more national championships? We're going to get there because we're doing it on building people in a holistic way, not just one season at a time and then they're gone. We're trying to build athletes and give them the ability to advance in life and a lot of skills. And to me, that's worth a lot. And I think that's a testimony to our university. I really believe that.
Well, I agree with you. And you talk about Coach Paris. He took his team down to the Bahamas in the summer just for a short trip where it's really a team building experience. You do play some games, and we played well down there. But when he got back, you know, my question was, like yours, what do you think? And he goes, you know what? I got some pretty good people. And I said, well, how's the team going to be? He said, well, good people makes for a better team. And you know, he said, we're going to be okay. And then he got picked dead last. He got picked to finish 14th. And I'm like, that's not good. He said, I don't know if we're going to be 14th. He said, we may be a little bit better than that. Well, tonight he's playing for first place. So that's quite a jump.
It is. It is. I have to ask this question because my wife was giving me a hard time about it. She said, well, if you're going to have them on the show, you've got to ask them this question. She wants to know why we took away all the sing-along songs at the football games. What happened to Sweet Caroline and all these songs where the crowd gets excited and sings? She's like, you watch Alabama and you watch these other schools, they have these sing-alongs, and we've gotten so into DJing that we forgot about the fan base songs. And she goes, you need to bring it back.
I'm gonna blame Coach Miller here for a little bit of that, because the players get involved in a little bit of the music.
Oh, I believe it.
And so that. Is that true? That's a little bit of the reason.
A little true.
I do like the sing-alongs. So you please tell your wife I'm kind of on board. Now, Sweet Caroline, it seemed like we didn't play well in the fourth quarter, so maybe that had something to do with it.
I think that's probably my fault. There was a moment we were coming out of a timeout to go into a critical fourth down, and that was not the time to play Sweet Caroline. And they played it, and I kind of lost it a little bit. So that might be why they haven't played it again. There's a time and place to play it. And we've
Neil
tried to,
Diamond didn't cause that problem. Yeah. All right. Don't blame Neil.
So I will tell you, credit to Coach Tanner, Justin King's kind of moved into not just a creative role with video, but he and Joe O'Clair and our marketing staff and others are really taking a look at the game day script, not just with football, but you see it with basketball a lot this year too, of trying to make it a production and an environment and get people involved in it. So you're going to see some new things, and that could be one of them. We tried a couple of songs here and there that may have not caught on, but there's always those three or four that you can play anywhere and people get into it. You just got to play it at the right time.
Yep. Well, timing's everything, but I mean, the lights and everything has just elevated the atmosphere and people get excited about it.
So tell her we're taking recommendations.
Yeah. Hey, believe me, she's a sandstorm nut. I mean, you can go by our seats and she's the first one up swinging towels, getting everybody wound up. It has to be part of it. But she's like, you know what? We don't have any sing-alongs anymore. She goes, you know, this is the second season in a row we've had no sing-alongs. And I'm like, well, I will make sure I bring it up.
I agree with her. Okay.
Now,
Chance, we need sing-alongs.
She's going to be on the video board. We're going to get her to kick it off for us.
I promise you, she's not scared.
We need a couple of people to help us kick it off.
She went to, you know, she didn't go to undergrad here, but she went to medical school here, and she is about 100% or 120% Gamecock like I am. And, she loves it. She doesn't want to miss a football game, but she's like, you know, we're missing that one element. You know, you look at some of these other schools and they've kept some of those. It's blended, but you see the crowd get really wound up and part of it, and young, old, and everybody standing and singing. That'd be pretty cool. Williams Bryce.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to be pushing that from now on.
There you go. There you go. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank y'all for spending this time with us. We appreciate you, appreciate what y'all are doing and the atmosphere that you've created. I mean, it's a very important part to our community. You know, every chance we get to be on TV and every chance that our athletic teams go somewhere else, you know, it brings a lot of recognition to our community as a whole, and we can't be successful without each other. And so it's exciting, and thanks for taking the time for being here. And folks, stay tuned, and I hope to see y'all at all the events. And, you know, if you didn't get to go to this soccer match because you didn't get tickets, don't worry. There'll be another one, it sounds like.
Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for being our mayor.